side way. But competition, them must come straight way. Competition, them try to come side way.
985 to Sports Hub. We are Dutcher and Rich. As I get older, I'm realizing that Fife was a better MC than Q-Tip.
I know some brothers wonder, can Fife
with
really
age, you've gotten that. With age, I realize that just in terms of MC skills, Fife is better than Q-Tip. Or what? All right, Michael Hurley, you are doing something that I greatly appreciate, is that is you have independently come up with a segment for the show. There are some guest hosts that find that impossible to do. I have no idea what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And why don't you explain it to the people and myself as well?
So the premise behind it is I've been on your show quite a bit, but we've never, you know, done a whole show together. I feel like you learned who I was during, like, Deflategate. I would come in for an hour sometimes, 15 minutes. But
it was wonderful. You would come in for an hour, I wouldn't say a word.
Right. And so I think in that time it was established, like, hey, Hurley's kind of a weirdo. I think, you know, I think I'd give off that vibe maybe a little bit. And
during Deflategate, your obsession with it and your passion for it, I found very odd.
No dispute. No dispute.
Both awesome and horrifying at the same time.
I found it awesome that he would come in and that he was so fired up that he could just go for an hour.
Yeah.
An hour. You had to kick me out after an hour. It was not enough.
But I mean, he was truly upset.
Sure.
Like, some people feigned being
still
upset.
Still is. He still
gotta
has
be honest,
a facial tic after you say the word.
Side note, not enjoying the book very much. Not enjoying the book very much.
Really?
Nothing new, really. Anyways, so the idea is, you know, I've revealed certain things about myself. I was on with Rich a couple months ago, and I revealed that I was a big boy band fan.
Now, how did that come about?
He asked me if there's anything weird that I was into.
But how did you become a big boy band fan?
I just was like 12, 13 when they really sort of rose to prominence, and they kicked ass, Fred. That's how.
13 is a relatively old age.
Seventh, eighth grade, the boy bands were at the peak. That's all I got to say.
See, I'll say this is that they weren't really marketed towards 13-year-old boys.
No, but, you know, you're in middle school. Everyone's, plus they kicked ass, as I said, so it's hard to not get into it.
Did you, I'm sure this was all, I didn't hear this, though. Would you dress like them?
No, I did know the dance, and then Rich made me do the dance because I failed the test, and then I did the dance very poorly. It was a mess.
Okay.
But, and, you know, last summer, I did a show with Murray in the morning, and he's like, who the hell are you, Hurley? Explain, like, tell me some things about yourself. So the idea is, the name of this game is, hey, is Hurley weird? Which is what I imagined you asked every time I left the room for a while.
Right.
So I'm going to give you and Wallach some multiple choice questions about myself, and we'll see what we can get.
Okay.
So
very good.
We got a few questions. I'll start with the basic one. Which sport did I not play in high school?
I know you played baseball.
Baseball, football, hockey, or tennis?
You did not play hockey.
All right. I was going to say hockey, too. So just to be different, I'll say tennis.
Well, I got to give it to Fred, and your initial. Yeah, I did not play hockey.
Yes.
Okay.
Good choice. I'm not a hockey player.
I was
clearly a tennis player.
I was fascinated with you because you played baseball.
Up until kid number two.
Yeah, you played baseball as
until
an adult.
Until you tore a calf muscle and gave it up.
I tore a calf. I pulled my hammy a lot. I got injured.
How is that possible?
Because
You
just can't. You're just not flexible.
I'm not in good shape, but I do go to a trainer twice a week, and you might say, hey, then why do you look the way you do? And I will say, imagine if I didn't go.
Heart health, baby. Heart health. You can't see it.
I don't do the cardio. I'm just looking to get jacked.
Well, I'll tell you how it happens is I play hockey still, and I've never been injured playing hockey.
Do all these adult sports?
Well, hockey's late at night. Baseball, I had to quit because I had two kids, and you can't just disappear for 4 hours to go play fake baseball games at a field in
Newton.
Like,
there's these guys that play basketball at the JCC at 5 in the morning once a week.
I used to play hockey at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
It's...
Well, ice time being what it is, I'm not surprised.
Hockey
basketball, basketball at 5:30 in the morning is a lot weirder than hockey at 5:30.
A lot of courts you can just show up.
I would get too nervous. Yeah. I haven't played organized sports in so long. I would brick everything. I'd get the yips. No matter what I was doing.
Anyways, how the injuries happen in baseball, there's a lot of quick bursts where you go from standing still to sprinting, when you're not in good condition, the muscles don't respond.
Yeah, see me, I would never get injured.
All right.
I'm well above that.
Clearly. All right, question number two. I was in a number of bands in high school.
Okay.
What instrument did I play? Bass?
You played the drums.
Drums.
Drums, yeah.
Okay.
Because I saw
Baby Hurl.
See, production correct. Value has just gone up.
I didn't know you knew that.
Here's
drums
the
are the only thing in the world I'm actually good at.
We've had a whole break with you talking about your punk band
phase. But Fred wasn't in.
Fred wasn't in. Oh, I remember.
No, but
it's drums.
It was shown to me because I was fascinated.
Yeah, yeah.
Hurley was
word
in
spreads.
Because Hurley, a very big emo fan.
Mm-hmm. Just saw Taking Back Sunday a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Saw the Gaslight Anthem this week.
You are so manly.
Very, very manly.
That's why I'm so surprised that you play these games. You play hockey. Now, is there hitting in the hockey
league? No, God, no. Some people do, and then everyone just sort of castigates them out because what are you doing?
Right.
There's always a crazy person on the ice at some point.
See, I wouldn't be able to perform it as a adult athlete.
It's the only way I can exercise. Like, I don't like to go to the gym and go on a treadmill. It's so boring.
No, I understand. I admire it. I would get way too nervous.
Even like rec league softball, that kind of thing. You never did that?
That's kind of boring.
I did play rec league softball.
So
but
did
it was
I.
Boring.
Just you play outfield to get the run occasionally.
No, but I would get the if it was like real baseball, I'd get the yips. I wouldn't be able to throw straight.
Oh, baseball's the best.
In basketball, I would get too nervous. Because everyone's watching you.
Yeah, I used to play basketball with some older guys, and I would airball most of my shots.
Yeah.
You're wide open, you kind of got to shoot it, and then you're just like, oh, boy, I haven't shot in too long.
Well, have you ever been playing, like, basketball, like, at a gym, and then all of a sudden people come in that are really good?
You get out of there.
All right, so I have a story about that. All right, so my first real radio job, like, at a big station was in Atlanta, and it was right next to this gym. So a bunch of us went in there to play, and then all of a sudden this group of guys comes in, and they have a couple of them have McDonald's All-American jerseys.
Just
on.
The best players in the country, no
right.
big deal.
And so and who knows what year they're from, but they're wearing them. And so then you become captain. I got the pass. Like, I'm not getting in the key. I'm staying beyond the three-point line. And you get the pass, and you like dribble once and then pass again.
Oh, yeah.
So there was a fast break. And they, you know, these guys are dunking and stuff. There was a fast break, and I just ran out the door and left.
Forrest Gump.
I just left because there was no way I was shooting. There was no way that I was going to drive. So I just became captain, like pivot, like pivot and pass, and then pass to the guy next.
Just set any screens.
Just left the other team on the power play.
Gotta set some high screens.
No, I just ran out, and then the guys that I had been playing with were so pissed.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to be there either.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm not standing in front of someone who can dunk.
Right.
Like, that's not happening. All right, Hurley. I'm making it all about myself.
It's all right. I should say we're building to a pretty big reveal that I'm excited to come out with.
I'm very excited.
If you were surprised by the boy bands thing, we'll see what comes there. All right, next question. I've only seen one of these movies. Which one? Goodfellas, The Godfather Part II, Wayne's World.
Wayne's World. Wayne's World.
If you've never seen Goodfellas.
I say it's Wayne's World.
I'm going to say this is the only movie you have seen.
Of the three, I've only seen one of those.
I'm saying it's Goodfellas.
Fred's correct.
Oh!
Well, this is the jam. I got no problem with
thank
that
you,
song.
Fred. Thank you.
I got no problem with that
I'll hook
song.
You up with the playlist. You'll come around. Never seen Godfather Part 2. I didn't see The Godfather until 2009.
I didn't see The Godfather all the way through until last week.
Godfather Part 2 is a very good movie.
And I never saw Wayne's World more than a few minutes.
By the way, Godfather Part 2, two DVDs.
Yes.
How many VHSs? That's how you know it's a good one.
Well, I imagine it's seven. There's an intermission is all I know.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet. Maybe by 2019. All right. During which of these events did I not shed a tear or outright cry? The birth of my daughter, the 25th viewing of the movie Miracle, or the 2004 Red Sox World Series win? Which one did I not cry?
It's got to be your daughter because no one cries when their kids are born.
That would have been my guess. I'll say 2004 Red Sox.
John Wallach. John Wallach's correct. I wept like a baby when my daughter was born. You know why? Because the whole time my wife was pregnant, this was my first daughter especially, I was just so worried about something going wrong and, like, something not happening that I never, like, envisioned a healthy baby coming out. So when, like, the baby came out and she was, like, healthy, it just all came at once.
So
it was weeping.
I've never cried with happiness. Never in my entire life have I cried with happiness.
It was sloppy. It was sloppy. It was a weep.
Well, I was so focused. Well, first of all, my son took legitimately 20 hours to come out because my wife's water broke when she was dilated, like, you know, a millimeter.
Yeah.
So we just had to sit there. And I was so concerned not to look at the placenta. That because I hear that just ruins everything. You'll never have a sex life again. That I was so focused on not looking at the placenta, I missed a great deal of it. But I've never cried with happiness. Relief, happy.
It was like happy relief,
I would say. A love that I've never felt before, but certainly not crying like some wuss.
Yeah, that's me.
All right.
But I did cry on the 25th time I watched Miracle. For whatever reason, Jimmy Craig's dad looking up into the stands. I got a single tear.
Keep that glove hand up, Jimmy.
You know it was 25?
It was many times deep into the Miracle viewing that it just Jimmy Craig's dad caught me the right way.
Yeah. My father has cried twice in his life, and once was E.T. My mom has seen my dad cry twice. And this includes the death of his parents, everything. The birth of me, the movie Ben, and E.T.
E.T., huh?
The only two times
which
my father's ever cried.
What,
it's about a mouse.
Relates more to mice and aliens than any human.
Okay. Right. That's what this level is at.
All right.
That's about how he relates to people.
I haven't been keeping score, but John's been sort of changing his answer based on Fred. Yeah, so no, I'm going to go with it's about
Fred's
tied.
Got the lead, I think.
John's not playing fairly, but go ahead.
Well, it's not about fair. All right. What was the first concert I ever attended? Metallica, New Kids on the Block, Green Day, or No Doubt?
New Kids on the Block.
No, I'm going to say New Kids on the Block is too easy, and he was leading us that way because it was a boy band thing. I say, I'm guessing here, No Doubt.
Because that would be my second guess is No Doubt. Well, it's certainly not Metallica.
Freddie T. It was New Kids on the Block at Foxborough Stadium.
So all right, great show. Got that wrong.
Now, okay, who did you identify with in New Kids on the Block?
See, I was young. Didn't one of them get caught, lighting stuff on fire?
Sure.
Him.
Okay.
AJ? the guy who looked like a
no,
rat?
No, that's Backstreet Boys.
Oh, I'm sorry.
John, come on.
Come on, John. Well, it had to be Donnie.
It might have been Donnie. I don't want to.
Because he wore a leather jacket.
I don't want to put any, you know, accusations on anyone 25 years later. But
I don't want
Donnie lit things
I don't
on
mean
fire?
To make you jealous, but there was a Grammys weekend where I hung out with Joey McIntyre almost the entire weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
He was in the old building once. I was walking downstairs to you guys, and he was, like, kind of walking up. And he kind of looked at me, and we kind of made eye contact. And he was sort of like, "Yeah, I'm Joey McIntyre," but I didn't say anything because I wasn't really sure. And I just kind of kept going. And I think he was disappointed.
Would you be starstruck if you saw Joey McIntyre and talked to him?
No.
We had him on the radio, and I invited
in Houston. He visited us while we were at the Super
but
Bowl.
I had him on in Atlanta because I knew the guy.
Oh, okay.
And I stacked the studio with women over 50.
Oh, yeah.
And never talked to him again until the Super Bowl. All right, continue.
All right, two left. I'm going to skip one because I think it's going to lead us down a long path.
Okay.
So two left. What got me in trouble with the vice principal in high school? I didn't end up shirtless wrestling, but what got me in trouble with the vice principal in high school? I was caught drinking, I created a social media website, or I was caught committing some vandalism.
Creating a social media website? You're too old for that. What was the first one?
Caught drinking.
I'm going to say vandalism.
Social media.
John Wallach. John Wallach. So I invented Facebook, basically. Like, I created this social media hub for my high school, and the thing was people would post on it some problematic things. And so I had to go out and get talking to.
Then why are you doing what you do now?
Because I didn't really recognize that it was the future at the time.
You're like this brilliant guy.
Well, I wouldn't say brilliant, but I made this website, and people could go on, and there was like a message board, and there was everything. It was basically like the media, the social hub of the high school, and like I said, some rumors and innuendo and people not liking it and complaining, and I ended up making it password protected after that. So I really did invent Facebook for kids, and then I didn't follow through. If I was 14 and smart, I would have gone around to other schools and made it for them,
like
too. But
Vingalos kids or whatever the hell that
is. Yeah, they owe me, actually.
All right. And finally.
So I think John got that one. I think it's tied. I think this is for the victory here.
This is it. For the victory.
Okay. All right. So which of these things is true? I was once a juggalo. I have a tattoo or multiple tattoos. Or I have been detained by police.
Well, all right. So you were into emo and you were into boy bands. So I bet you there was a traditional period where you were a juggalo. You seem to be very apt at you have this way of kind of throwing yourselves into scenes.
But isn't having a juggalo and tattoos that's a subset of the one of the other?
Well, tattoos is not interesting.
Yeah, I know. I know. You see, I wanted to say Juggalo. I do. I'm going to stay. I'm with Fred here. I think Juggalo.
It ends in a tie.
Oh, wow. It
ends in a tie.
You were a Juggalo?
I was a Juggalo.
For how long?
Wow.
Like 7th grade and 8th grade. Like intense. Like all the way. Like own all the CDs, own all the posters, own all
Would
the
you
pictures.
Paint your face?
At least twice, yeah. I went to the concerts, I went to the meet and greets. It was all in. You can't stick a toe in that Juggalo water. You know it.
No, would you but buy so what, Fago?
You went to Worcester, huh?
Well, funny thing, I bought a concert ticket to Worcester, but because yeah. I was 13, I couldn't get there.
I knew it.
Didn't make
Worcester
it out.
Is where they go.
Bought the ticket at Strawberries, never made it out west.
Well, that's exactly why you didn't make it in the social media world, is because you were knee-deep in people that had been hitting the head with shovels.
What happened was I went to high school, and I was like, huh, I kind of like girls. I'm not sure the girls are going to like me so much. It's time to maybe move on to the next thing. And that's when, you know, my love of pop punk and emo was established. But, yep, never came out with that before. I'm happy to finally get it off my chest.
Well, listen, my friend. Magnets, how do they work? You just want to hear about some science.
You know what, Fred? I will take up ICP's case on this. How do magnets work, Smarty Pants?
I don't know. That's something that's well above my pay grade. This portion of Toucher and Rich is brought to you by Cambridge Savings Bank.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. This is John Wallach, headed to Disney World tomorrow. He's just going to be sitting there, Toy Story ride.
That's right.
The funniest thing Rich said yesterday is he was like, dude, when you go to Disney World, just you turn a quarter and it's Harry Potter land and you're just like, whoa. And I'm like, who the hell knows anything about Harry Potter?
I'm a big Harry Potter guy. I should have thrown that in the...
oh, Jesus.
Saw all the movies?
Saw all the movies, read all the books.
Huh? I don't think I could get through. I read a lot, but I don't think I could get through a Harry Potter book.
Well, my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, was into it. And it was like one college break. You know, you have like that interminable 2 months.
Did you date a 12-year-old?
Yeah. Well, you know, you get into it when you're young and you stay into it. And so she was telling me about this book. And I'm like, I know it. So it was like college break is like 2 months. I think I read like 4 books.
All right. Well, you're
cool. Isn't each book like 800 pages?
One is really long.
Yeah.
Maybe two are really long. I haven't read a book since, so.
All right. John, go ahead.
Hey, I just got a question. Do you know how many times that leading with the head rule was called yesterday?
Many.
3 times on the Eagles, once on the Patriots.
So it was only 4 times? I swear it was like 8 times.
Oh, you know,
I was watching the whole game.
You know why? Because it stops, because the league just said, you know what, let's make another arbitrary rule that's you can't quantify, and let's make things stop and stop all kinds of progress and momentum of
the
game.
The funny thing was, though, that they called it 4 times, but, and Zolak was pointing this out during the TV broadcast, they could have called it 4 or 5 other times.
Yeah, well, because it's arbitrary.
Yeah, it's like a coin flip. Okay, we'll call it this time, but not that time.
The week before, referee Brad Allen came to Foxborough and explained in detail with the video, like, this is what we're going to call. And then there was a play, I don't know, I think it was Ralph Webb, literally doing what the instructional video showed, lowering his head, flattening his back, driving into someone, and they didn't call it. And that was the referee who had explained it to the media the day before. I think one was legitimate last night. It was the one on Gillislee where it was just straight going head-to-head with the running back, but the rest were all impossible to avoid.
James
not impossible to avoid, but it's...
The
as
James
a, as
White
a defender,
one was impossible to avoid.
Well, you dive through a running back's chest. Your head is attached to your body. I don't know how you're supposed to avoid that. The Jordan Richards one was dreadful, too. I think the one on Edelman looked bad in live motion. You could kind of see why. It looked like spearing in live motion. Replay showed it was just more shoulder to shoulder. But you can sort of see why they called that one. But the other two, especially, were just... You can't tackle.
And it's such a dumb rule, because what's it prevent? Like, all of a sudden, people now are not going to get concussions?
Oh, no, it's safe. Football's safe now.
You know what? It's not a safe game. The people are big and fast, and they hit each other.
Maybe it's a good thing, then, that that will become the realization. Like, you can't actually legislate safety. You can't put it in to a game that isn't safe.
Yeah, it's not safe. And to sit around and act like you're rot with guilt now because you're watching someone who can get a concussion is BS. You know what? These guys are getting paid. These guys are adults. They're completely aware of the ramifications of what they're doing. They're completely, not even concussions. I mean, just what no one knows about Earl Campbell. I mean, Earl Campbell can't walk. I mean, look at these guys. The guy from the Dolphins.
Larry Zonka.
No. But
oh,
the guy,
the Italian name.
Yeah.
Blanking on it right now.
That used to do Inside the NFL. But, I mean, you Bonacani, yeah, thank yes. you. There's, I mean, millions of examples or thousands of examples of this happening. The idea that you can stop concussions in the NFL is ridiculous. It's you watch it, and if concussions bother you and injuries bother you, then don't watch it. Don't consume it. But don't pretend that they can do anything about it. All it does is it's another thing. I don't know why the NFL doesn't understand this, is that every year they create something that slows everything down.
Mm-hmm.
That makes
and they
the
have a whole new – four referees retired too. So you're going to have four first-time referees on cruise every week too.
Fantastic. And so maybe they can replay 45 million
and
things.
And a new catch rule.
Oh, yeah. Well, the new catch rule might help.
Probably not. Some points of contention in what you just said, but I think in this point, it's like wearing knee pads while skydiving. Like, you did not make anything safer. You're literally just trying to cover up something that isn't the core of the issue that you can't really solve.
It's not about that, though. It's about protecting your ass in the eventuality of a lawsuit
right.
in the future.
But the
right.
thing is, what are they going to do?
Too late
they're going
for
to
that.
Court and they're going to say that, we told people not to hit.
No, this was the rule. He didn't follow the rule. I mean, that'll be one of the arguments.
All right, but if I'm diving if I'm tackling a player and they happen to move or slip.
It's crazy.
Or try to avoid the tackle. And I end up hitting them with my head.
Nothing is 100%, Fred. And what you say is right. It's a dangerous game played by very large men running very, very fast.
Right.
And you can't prevent a lot of this from happening.
I also think...
But the NFL, in its pure drop-in-the-bucket way, is doing its best to cover itself in case of an illegal eventuality.
Well, and this is not the way the game should be played. But this is an example of what a problem was in the NFL. I love when the NFL Network plays old Super Bowls. And there was one Oakland-Pittsburgh Super Bowl. Or no, it was an AFC Championship game. And it was Dallas-Pittsburgh. And Bradshaw goes, he rolls out, he throws. Ten steps later, he just gets head-to-head. They just knock him. And
it was literally kill the quarterback.
And the color guy goes like, he got his bell rung there a little bit. But, he got knocked down.
He's a tough guy.
Yeah, you're like, what the hell is going on here? So there's that, which I understand. And I understand when there's a defenseless receiver and you go down and you put your head down and you hit him in the head. All of that I understand. But I don't understand how if someone is running with a football that it's possible in every situation not to have any helmet to body contact.
I hate to break this to you, Fred. I hate to break it to you, but you are doing what the NFL wants, I believe. I believe this is what the NFL wants to create, a spectacle that makes everyone hem and haw and hoot and holler and make a big deal, so that the story that sort of gets distilled out to people that aren't paying the closest attention is that the NFL is cracking down on head hits. I think they want that to ultimately be the story, and the more we make of it in the preseason, because they're going to call, I mean, the preseason doesn't matter in terms of the outcome and the penalties and things like that. I think they want this to sort of dominate the storyline this summer, and then what happens after that is almost irrelevant. So they don't have to keep calling it throughout the season for the idea to be that the NFL is cracking down on this.
See, I think that the refs are, you're giving them way too much credit, and I think that they are going to call it, and I think it's going to continue to slow down the game.
Well, the refs have been told to call it.
Yeah, and I think that in the regular season they're going to call it. So along with everything else that's going on, it's going to continue to make the games a slog.
You might be right, but I choose nefarious plot by the NFL to win some sort of PR battle.
He's hoping. Well, obviously it's for PR, and obviously we know that it's not going to stop concussions or even slow them down. I mean, that's obvious it's for
PR.
You
need the juice for that, the concussion juice.
Yeah, well, there's the concussion sauce.
Yeah.
And then if you drink enough water, you won't get sunburned.
Exactly.
Everyone knows that.
Right.
But and it's obviously a PR move, but it's a PR move that I believe that they're going to use and that they're actually going to call.
Maybe.
And it's gonna make everything slower. You don't think
the
NFL has no concern of pace of play. None.
No, it's bad. It's really
bad.
It's
horrible. It makes it not fun to watch. A game now that you got to give 3.5 hours of TV time to a game now.
There was a play against Washington in the preseason game last week where there was a Patriots punt, or the Patriots received a punt, whatever. The referees huddled. The officials huddled for a full minute. Came out, and they called penalties on both teams, and you had a re-kick. And it was like, after all that, you still have to run the play again. It was a full 5 minute delay for nothing. You got nothing out of it as a viewer.
Yeah, it's the NFL is making these games very difficult to watch.
Mm-hmm. That's been going on for several years.
You can say it's in like every 90-year-old I know says it's because they're taking knees and da 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 da. No, it's because it's getting boring.
Right.
Is that they're making the game boring.
And you have a wealth at your finger. Oh, the most amount of entertainment at your fingertip than anyone has ever had in the history of the world. You can hit a button and be watching a highly acclaimed show for 12 hours.
Right, exactly. All right, here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Thatcher and Rich. We are blessed to have Michael Hurley here after a Patriots preseason win. Tom Brady's first appearance this season wearing a helmet that disturbed both Scott Zolak and Michael Hurley.
Terrible.
But it's a segment based on an article called Ups and Downs.
There should be some music for this.
You know what was coming.
Well, listen,
you can't just live on the ups. The downs are always around the corner.
I don't do the production around here, please. Yeah. All right. Now, you were impressed with the pass rush last night.
Yeah, and I think that's really important. I think they got 5 sacks in the first half, but to me, the guy in the middle of all of it was Adrian Claiborne. I think, and I was sort of a skeptic or a doubter, whatever you want to call it, on that signing, because he had basically that one game against Dallas last year where he had, 6 sacks. That sort of inflated his total. I didn't think he had that sort of... He even said after that game, I only have one move, and it just kept working. But he was really ferocious.
That's good to let people know.
Yeah. He was ferocious last night. I think he helped lead to a lot of those other sacks. But he had a sack. Chung had a sack. Adam Butler had a sack. Derek Rivers, who I think is a huge... To me, he's the biggest... He's one of the biggest parts of this preseason where... He's basically, if you want to look at it as a glass half full, like an additional draft pick, but with a year of sort of adding to his strength and adaptation to the system. So I think if he can be an impact player, that's huge. And Kyle Van Noy fought 3 of their sacks, at least 3, maybe 4 actually, were on third down. Oh, no, 3 were on third down and 1 forced a fumble. So they were all pretty big plays by the defense. You know it's preseason. We're not going to go crazy, but that's an encouraging sign.
I thought Dietrich Wise didn't do too badly either, even though he didn't factor statistically into it. I thought his quarterback pressures were good, and 8 sacks is 8 sacks. I understand it's preseason football, and you have backup offensive linemen at times, but...
Well, just call it 5 in the first half.
Yeah,
you know? That's
enough. Just going to say, considering how they looked in week 1... As far as the pass rush goes, I was very encouraged. And also,
Trey Flowers didn't even play.
Yeah, so. Trey Flowers didn't play. And the other thing is, it happened at least once, and I think maybe a second time, Patriots had a coverage sack, which is very important for this team.
Now, you're saying, Hurley, that someone from the Eagles is already talking some smack?
Ooh, saw the headline. A lineman that you've never heard of enjoyed that he won the Super Bowl, so get mad about that if you want to.
Oh, he said that he enjoyed that he won the Super Bowl?
He posted I think his name was Wisniewski, tweeted a picture of the Patriots banners, and he did a circle on a blank space at the end and said, it's like the sweetest blank space I've ever seen.
Oh, well, listen.
So if you're a Patriots fan, you pretty much got to, light the torch and march after that one.
Listen, look into intern Nick's eyes, and then you'll
rage.
Find another blank space. You know the kid's got a fake heart. Hey!
A fake valve. Valve in the heart.
Well, listen. He ain't got long to live. All right, so listen. When we're talking about... we're talking about ups. With every up...
There's a down.
There's a down. Isaiah Wynn, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I mean, the injury... People get mad with my downs sometimes, and, you get an injury, you're pretty much on there. But I think that's... You never want to miss time in your rookie preseason. There's a lot to be learned there, especially if the team's going to... Theoretically, you get drafted 23rd overall, you're going to play. And given that we haven't seen Cannon, it seemed like it was going to make sense. You got Brown on the left side, you got Isaiah Wynn on the right side. You're kind of good. But without that, it might be a problem. So you just have to hope that it's minor and that the internet doctor is wrong.
Okay, because there's 2 internet doctors.
Well, one internet doctor is wrong.
All right. Okay, you got to hope that one's wrong because if you're just joining us, there are 2 internet doctors, and this seems like a really good science.
Yes.
And something that a doctor should be doing. They both watch on TV the injury, and then they kind of guess what it would be. And
yeah.
Well, two theories.
I think with Dr. David Chow, who's like noted as like the football doctor on Twitter, mm-hmm. I think his pattern, I don't follow this, but I'm just trying to figure out. I think, you know, you go worst case scenario with the tweet, get a lot of retweets. Probably no one follows up if you're wrong, but if you're right, it's like, oh, this guy knows it.
So he said he popped his Achilles.
That's what he said. He said that it looked like it could have been that, which is obviously a season ender, but maybe
could
he just
a career ender.
Maybe he got a foot cramp. I don't know.
Maybe
somewhere between foot cramp and Achilles.
And so we
had a foot cramp. Those are bad.
Those are bad. And Doc Flynn at Jess DDEEDE. She writes for the Boston Sports Journal. She seems to think it's an ankle. Could be a fractured ankle,
but it's
not an Achilles.
Thing is, when you're 310 pounds, it's really hard to, you know, things happen. It's a dangerous thing to do to be playing sports at 300 pounds. So,
okay, up.
Now we're
going to an up there in the sky. Cordell Patterson.
Yeah,
now, I mean Cordell Patterson. You don't know him as a receiver. You think of him as a return guy, but he might be pushed into duty. You liked him last night.
Here's the thing. It's easy to fall in love with a player who is super athletic but might not end up necessarily working in a complex offense. But he looked good. And they're going to need somebody. As we mentioned before, with the reliance on James White, you're going to need somebody on the outside who can either get open or do things in space. And you saw the way they used him, which I think is encouraging. The screen that he scored a touchdown on was from Hoyer. It was basically just get the ball to him and let him beat someone. And then the juke was one thing that he put on that guy, but the burst to get in the end zone was a legitimate, you know, useful skill he might have. And then the play that the screen, it was the play action fake right, screen pass over to Cordarrelle Patterson on the left side, which he almost broke for a 60-yard touchdown. He just barely stepped out of bounds, gained 24 yards. Encouraging. I wouldn't go fully all in on it. Maybe don't draft him on your fantasy boards, but he looked good.
I think.
Don't tell me what to do.
Don't draft him on your fantasy boards.
Okay.
You pick him up later.
Go ahead.
No, play that again. Any excuse is
fine. All right,
fine.
Go ahead. You go.
There are things about him, however, that lead me to believe that he's going to be one of those awesomely frustrating receivers. He can do that kind of stuff. Obviously, he's got physical gifts. He was a first-round draft pick. He's got great quickness, but then he'll be called
for a drop.
Then he'll drop an easy pass or be called for a legal procedure, which was on the very next play after a play that he made,
yep.
Or beat line up in the wrong place. He's going to have those awesome periods of time, and then he's going to do something that so completely frustrates you, you wonder why he's on the field. I think he's going to be one of those guys.
They're going to have to find the right role for him. It's not going to be whatever 100% of the snaps. It's going to be maybe closer to 60 where you can use him and play to his skills and not make it too much for him like other teams have done in the past.
And that gave you
Menage a twer.
Right. So
by the way, Mildred definitely talks to the pharmacist.
Yeah, well,
pharmacist. Yeah.
Well, she gave a 2-minute story on the air about how she pulled out a hemorrhoid. All right, now is the McCourty clan,
mm-hmm.
twins, Jason McCourty. He's down, in your opinion. He's our final guy that we'll talk about. Jason McCourty, does he make this team? And I have a thought. Would this upset his brother if he does not make the team?
I don't know. And I think so, I forget which reporter noted last night that Jason McCourty was asked about it after the game, the touchdown he gave up. And Devin McCourty quickly piped up from the locker next door and said, like, I told you, it's different here. You're not in Cleveland anymore. But I think, you know, cornerbacks get beat. He gave up a touchdown in man coverage on an island. It basically looked like an identical play to Plaxico Burress' game-winning touchdown in Super Bowl 42, which I tweeted out, and you guys will never believe it. People didn't like seeing that picture from Super Bowl 42. But anyways, cornerbacks do get beat. I don't think, you know, the coaching staff will necessarily overreact to this one play the way people like us might, but certainly it wasn't a positive step when people have sort of speculated whether or not he even makes the team. To have that moment to sort of make that play in the end zone and not make it, I don't think he's in a position like Stephon Gilmore to sort of just say, oh, well, it's preseason, it doesn't matter. I think you kind of have to show something on tape, and we haven't seen it yet.
I agree.
All right, but and it's a weapon, though, and I kept a feeling something. And I grabbed it in the pose,
No, please.
And my hammer out.
All right, well, that's what I say for down. We will be back.
Makes sense.
Just a moment. We'll talk to Dan the Man Roach.
Toucher and Rich.
You know the age old saying with this world plan. Leave an AO in a K-hole playing newsflash. This is how an MC sound. I put it down like no little dogs from D-Brown. We in the house. Screens that your two-door
doors down from two doors now. Evil X, new door style, the crew's all wow. The price of death never been cheaper. And you ain't gotta notify your next of kin neither. You can't sleep, cause the innkeeper's the grim reaper. I'm a sin eater, so I face the ring leader. Bust a 9mm rhyme at your two-seater.
98.5 the sports hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Did you hear Aretha Franklin died?
I saw that on Twitter.
Everybody's been very concerned about her career for a long time. But Dan O'Brien, with some facts, she died at the age of 76.
Which, in of itself, I mean, she was elderly and she was, well, you know, she was sick.
Kind
of so.
Young.
I think 76 okay. Nowadays, I would. Well, based on her weight and everything, you know, who knows. But she has surviving family members, including some
elderly children.
Some elderly children. 76 years old. How old is her oldest child?
Her son, was it 64?
Yes, she was 12 years old.
It was a fact that I didn't know until I heard it on a news, you know, story, and I had to then go for myself and figure out that it was true, that someone wasn't making it up.
And then she turned
12 years old.
She was 12 years old when, and her father was like a preacher.
Named the kid after the father, we learned this morning.
We did indeed.
Her
and
mama.
Then her, the second child she had, she was 14, correct?
14. Followed that right up, yep.
14. 12 and 14. And then Hurley and I were like, could you even have a kid at 12?
I guess you kind of know that, but not really. Like, I wouldn't have, you know, bet my life on that.
I didn't think that you could have a kid when you were 12.
I didn't find that as a surprise.
It doesn't feel like you can, but some people can, you know? That's disturbing.
Yeah, it's disturbing.
Get it out of the way, though, you know?
You have two daughters.
Your kids will be moved out by the time you're 25, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
You could be young again.
Yeah, that's right.
And Hurley, you said she didn't speak about it much or at all.
Well, who can blame her?
In my research on Wikipedia, it said that she never talked about them in interviews. Not the kids, but maybe the pregnancies.
The pregnancies at 12.
Yes. No discussions.
No. That seems, that is the most, having a daughter, that is very disturbing news.
Even not having it, just being a human, I think that would be kind of out of left field.
No, but the idea of a 12-year-old being able to carry a child to term and have the child as a father.
What is that, like sixth grade?
12 is sixth grade. And so my daughter is 8, and that means in 4 years she could have a child?
It doesn't seem possible.
See, because it's the woman's responsibility. If my son impregnates someone at any point, I mean, you just get out of Dodge.
There's a monetary aspect.
Yeah, you prove it.
Well, they can do that.
You know?
They can do that.
Do I test for that?
Well, listen, you hop on the first train to Splitsville. And if it's a guy, you got no responsibility in the whole thing. If you're Aretha Franklin, you're stuck with this kid when you're 12. And you know what, when you're 12? Probably making a lot of really good decisions.
Oh, for the child?
Yeah. Taking care of a baby at 12. When I was 12, I was taping Paula Abdul videos so I could play with myself.
When I was 12, I was a juggalo.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of puts it all in perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah. I had Betamax tapes of Samantha Fox videos and Paula Abdul videos so I could play with myself. I would wake up, and if the ESPN workout shows were already over, I'd put on the Vicki Lawrence show.
Don't go to Keanu. Are you going to Keanu Tomland? Is that where we're headed?
And it was funny because then when I got older and I worked at a sports bar and I would get there early, the Keanu Tom video and the Corey Everson shows would be on, and I would get this like urge to because it was
in the back
of my head.
Nostalgia. Yeah, yeah.
But that was the worst. Is if I got up at noon and those shows were over, then I turned it to the Vicki Lawrence talk show.
Okay.